Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 15. We're a group of people that had come down from Judea, and they were teaching a physical circumcision. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Mark from La Center, Washington.
Acts chapter 15, because circumcision, physical circumcision, was such a big issue, when they were in Antioch and so on, this question came up again, and it's come up before about circumcision, a physical circumcision that was set at the time of Moses, and it had to do with salvation from the aspect that people were looking ahead to something that was going to happen. Now, that thing that was going to happen has already happened, and it happened at Acts 2:38 when they repented and were baptized. It was already done, so they were looking at, and they were used to looking at the shadow. And they were teaching the shadow. They weren't teaching the real thing, because it all changed in Acts 2:38 on the day of Pentecost, didn't it? And here they're still back at Moses' custom. And when in the Old Testament, many things were done with shadows. That word shadow can mean an outline or a like the bone structure of a person, the living person. You might be looking at their bones, but that real person, you will not know them unless you get to the heart and get to know what's on their heart and minds and so on. So anyway, they're in the wrong place and time. They haven't kept up with God and what's going on. And here, a whole new era has come. The New Testament was brought into effect when Jesus died on the cross. The biggest thing that happened in those Gospels was not Jesus raising people or whatever. Those were all huge events. Every one was a very important event. But the event that changed time, that changed the focus, that changed our relationship with God, a birth happened to a nation. The baby was being born, and it didn't come about until Jesus died on the cross, and then the delivery happened on the day of Pentecost, that second gathering together, the convocation. And it was 50 days after the day Jesus died on the cross. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and that was fulfilled. And these people, later on, they're still teaching the shadow. So Paul and Barnabas, their goal was to go to Jerusalem and talk to the people there, talk to the people that were walked with Jesus 3.5 years, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And they rehearsed to these apostles and elders what God had done with them and how this question of circumcision has come up. And we are in Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 6. Here they are in Jerusalem talking to Peter, John. James had been killed, but the other apostles were still alive. There's only one missing, I think. And we're going to go all the way to verse 21. we're going to really get into this thing about circumcision of the heart.
Now, I noticed in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, certain were coming down and teaching this. And by the time we get to the second context, it says, but certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Now, here we have the Pharisees showing up again, and they are going and following them around.
Troublemakers.
They were just, yes, troublemakers.
They weren't keeping up with Jesus.
So here the religious people show up again. Here they're showing up in this. They show up right there.
The stick in the muds.
The ones that have been losing converts are showing up.
And Paul was one of these Pharisees.
And he was a Pharisee, yes. And it says more things about him that they knew who he was.
Now, today, if you're going to apply the scriptures, we have to always apply everything to ourselves. And there are still Pharisees alive today. And they believed in God. They had religious beliefs. And today, because we have about 8, 9, 10,000 different religions in the world, do you think that's too many? There's only one true one, true religion, but there's a lot of isms, and they are worshiping a lot of gods, but there's only one true God. So here they're going to go to people that walked with God and the elders in Jerusalem, and they're going to discuss this matter again, which is the image of Christ. It's the Greek word logo. And so we're in verses 6 to 21.
And the apostles and the elders were gathered together to see about this matter. And when there had been much questioning, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made choice among you that by my mouth the nations should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knoweth the heart, bear witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why make ye trial of God by putting a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in like manner as they. And all the multitude kept silent, and heard Barnabas and Paul rehearsing what signs and wonders God had wrought among the nations through them. And after they kept silent, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken to me. Simeon hath rehearsed how first God visited the nations to take out a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophet, as is written, After these things I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men may seek after the Lord, and all the nations upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who maketh these things known from the age. Therefore my judgment is, that we trouble not them that from among the nations turn to God, but that we enjoin them to abstain from the pollutions of the idols and fornication and what is strangled and blood. For Moses from generations of old has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath.
So they came to Jerusalem in that prior context in verse 4. I'm going to back up to what we had gone through on the last tape that we had recorded. And they had rehearsed to them the things that God had done. And this is Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them. They came to Jerusalem. And what did Peter have that the other apostles didn't have?
The keys.
Keys to the kingdom, yeah. He stands up right here. Isn't that interesting? He's the one back in Acts 2:38 that told all of them, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. And they were cut to the heart when he said that and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, change your mind and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, here is Peter again. He is got the keys and said, now, what's funny too, here's the funny thing about Peter. He made a mistake and he decided to do something with the keys. And Jesus said, knock it off, enemy. You know, he called him Satan, which means enemy, because he had jumped ahead. But now you notice he's not doing something this time. He's not jumping ahead. He's right on point. And you're seeing all these people do exactly what Christ would have done. Isn't that interesting what the Holy Spirit, when it enters a person, the Holy Spirit will give you the mind of God, the ability to do exactly what's God's will at the moment. So here now you see Peter, totally different. Again, second time, standing up, doing what he should do. And you don't see him a lot, but he's at key places, isn't he, in resolving this? He's at a key place because he does know about repentance and baptism. Now, this circumcision is a key point within baptism because it happens during baptism. So here is Peter adding more to that story. After a person's changed their mind, they need to be baptized because God is going to perform a surgery made without hands in that person, whether man or woman, and circumcise their hearts now, not physical for men. This is not a men-only club anymore. This is now for all of God's kids.
Now, is he referring to, because it says in verse 7, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made a choice among you that by my mouth the nations should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So is he referring back to in Acts 10 with Cornelius and his family?
I believe he is.
Well, that's what it,
yeah. The nation, that's the only
nations. Time. That's the nations. Yeah.
That's not, you're right on. That's not specifically. So this is, well, three times now. So I said two. So what do we have again? What's that word?
Three.
Thrice.
So I'm four thrices now. That's really interesting, isn't it? So this is the three times, the third time. I said two, and I changed my mind.
So instead of talking about what they wanted to talk about, he went back behind it and started talking about the nations had the message that God had selected the nations. He didn't address have to be circumcised. He didn't talk about that at all. He started the story back behind that, and now he's going forward, telling the history of it and how he was involved with it.
That is a great point. See, this is how we all learn from each other and keep learning. You know, is there any time between now and the Lord's return that we don't learn?
No.
So why do we always try to cover ourselves like we know it all? We're always right. Do we find ourselves changing every day? Not changing direction, but fine-tuning, always
clarifying.
The first big rocket blast, just like going to the moon, is when you take off from the earth, and that happens when you repent and you're baptized, where God circumcises your heart and you get the Holy Spirit in. And from then on, your repentance, instead of going a whole before we're going down to destruction, that's the broadest way that leads to destruction. And that's a downward path, and many go there, but narrow the gate and straight is the way that leads to life. And that's always upward. That path is an always upward. And so the big blast off is out of the earth's hold. And then the repentance from then on, like we just did now, is truing the course. I like the freedom to be wrong and not be beat up or being discredited or being disgraced. But the gentlemanly way, really, there's got to be a gentlemanly, God, The guy that started us told us God is a gentleman. How do you like that statement?
I like that.
In 12, it is like a gentleman too. You're talking about their disagreeing about a process, and it wasn't just a mass argument. The multitude kept silent.
And listened.
And listened.
And heard Barnabas.
He ain't mentioned circumcision once. Listen to him talk. And God, knowing the heart, bears witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. He's talking about the hearts being cleansed, about that they were selected by God. Then he makes his point. Now, therefore, why do you make a trial of God by putting a yoke upon the neck? Here he comes, of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. So why are you doing that? But we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in a like manner as they. And all the multitude kept silent, like he talked about circumcision. He says, why are you putting a yoke on their neck? And they're going like, what's he talking about? And all the multitude kept silent and heard Barnabas and Paul rehearsing the signs. Now, I think it's really interesting that Barnabas and Saul were talking. They were going two by two at this right here. And they were rehearsing what signs and wonders God had wrought among the nations. And I would bet you it was like working with another person, and you talk and they talk and he's talking about the signs and wonders. He started out the conversation, but boy, it sure went to Barnabas and Saul right then. When it went away from Peter, it went to Barnabas and Saul.
They rehearsed twice. This is the second rehearsal. One was verse 4. First, they rehearsed the things God had done with them. And then what does this one say? They rehearsed what?
They rehearsed.
What? What'd they rehearse?
They rehearsed the signs and the wonders God had wrought among the nations through them. So there's Peter making a point, and then they began to talk. Peter started that conversation. And then Barnabas and Saul rehearsed it. And after they kept silent, and then James answered. Now we got another one ringing in.
No, actually, both this is Paul and Barnabas rehearsing. The one up here, they rehearse what things God had done in verse 4, Paul and Barnabas, and then they rehearse again.
That's what I mean, after Peter started talking, then they rehearsed it again, didn't
right.
they?
Right, yeah. They did the rehearsing. The thing that really jumped off the page to me is when you brought up that faith, they're cleansing their hearts by faith. There's a door of faith that's opened. And this faith is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. This whole thing is in God's hands. We change our mind, and God does the rest.
Cleansing of the heart. Other words, it's not in your... Well,
it's not in our
it's
hands.
It's not in... like, what do you do in your hands?
Yeah.
Circumcise people so that he's taking it out of their hands and putting it into God's hands.
Circumcision without hands.
Yeah, that's what's going on here.
And so here we have the cleansing of their hearts by faith, and this is not of ourselves, the gift of God. And men love to have their hands on
stuff.
I think the scribes and the Pharisees... is too much hands-on, too much them, maybe close to 100% them and zero for God. How about 100% for God and zero for man when it comes to cleansing the heart? What do you think, Mark?
So Peter really drew the lines here. He drew the borders of the conversation where it was going to go. And then they started talking about things that happened. The real heavy lifting was done right there. He drew the lines.
Now, this James, we were talking about it.
Yeah, who's...
And this James, one James died, right?
He was killed with a sword.
Well, I had a question about that because I was confused off the air.
There's two Jameses. I think this James, I'm just going to take a guess here. I think this is the one that wrote the book of James. And I think he's also called Jesus' brother. And that's an interesting thing in and of itself. And he actually becomes a very strong part of God's family. He becomes a real, what would you call it?
Like a pillar?
Like a...
Yeah.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Thanks. That was like perfect word. Thanks, Steve. A pillar. The word, again, here's the logon, logo, the image of Christ. It almost uses it in every chapter. They are constantly talking, when it's talking about the logo, it's Christ's character. The heart and mind of Christ. And it's things like repentance, faith on God, the doctrine of baptisms. Oh, and the plural number of baptisms, one baptism, the one right in the middle where we become God's child. The first baptism in the cloud is the preparation. It's a time, someplace in our lives where we start thinking about God. Maybe we go to bed every night and pray to God, and we don't know what's drawing us. Or maybe we get a Bible, and we think that helps us. We have that Bible in our headboard, but we're not reading it yet. We just like the safety of having that Word of God around us, and people treat that like an object. But how about cracking the Bible and start reading what God is saying? It's God's breath. You will not hear God talking until you read your Bible. I didn't yet. I just prayed to God. And then there came the time when I started opening up the Bible and God would speak to me. The Word, you have to read the Word. Oh, and where to start? Start in Matthew. First step. You'll hear right from Jesus. This is the first book you will meet Jesus. It's the first book that tells you where Jesus came from. It's the first book that tells you He's the King. It's the first book that tell you it's a new kingdom. It's not the United States anymore. It's not Russia. It's not Cuba. It's the kingdom of the heavens. Where is it? In effect, all over the world, whatever nation. And there are going to be people from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue that will eventually be reached. Is that important to us? Yes, they're all of our brothers. And to be worldly-minded is death. It's not talking about worldly-minded as to
believing that there's people all over the world. That's right. Not worldly-minded.
But this type of minded is to be godly-minded, have the desires that God's people will be gathered together and will be a part of that in talking to people from different nations, which we are. We know now people in Australia, Argentina, Armenia,
Bulgaria,
Israel.
And that's just us.
Yeah. Mexico.
That's just people we know.
Canada.
Know people that far.
Yeah.
We have been connected to people.
Met them. At least met them and talked to them.
Yeah.
And we want to meet more. We want to see more. And, Cooch, what country is she from?
Into Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Puerto Rico.
Yeah. They call it a part of the United States, but it's Puerto Rico too. It's from every tribe, kindred, and tongue, and nation that we are concerned about. That's where our minds are for their salvation. It's no more just America. It's the kingdom of the heavens. So all these things change. We start reading the Bible, you start praying, and you're using the pathway through Jesus to go through the veil to the Father. But we need to spend time with the Holy Spirit and read the Bible. That's where we go to the, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's where you spend time with the Holy Spirit. Then when we go to the table and have communion, we're spending time with Jesus Himself. And then in prayer, we're talking to the Father. So all these three things are coming to light here in the book of Acts. Where are we now?
Verse 14. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath rehearsed how first God visited the nations to take out a people for His name. Now Simeon is?
Peter.
Simon Peter.
Simeon.
I'm taking it because he said that.
It is.
I think it's Simon Peter.
It is.
And so James is then talking about Peter. So Barnabas and Saul were talking, and then James is talking about Peter.
Isn't it funny he uses that with the name? God allows that to be used, but he is the one, you know, he was the one involved with Cornelius that brought it to the nations. It's obvious it is, but we get our mindset that God's going to call him Peter from now on.
But he says...
It doesn't do that.
You have to just let it be.
Yeah. There's a reason.
Yeah. Or you try to make up a new person in there, but who are you going to make up?
No, it's Peter. We need to finish reading. Did we read all the way to 21? Or did we stop?
We did. We read all of that.
Okay.
There's a lot of order in how they talk.
Mm. Yeah.
In a sense of they never talked over one another, and it gives that order where it says, like, if three prophets talked and then one had a judgment, the other ones were to remain quiet. I could see that really clearly in this picture about such an important subject as salvation.
So Peter put this down, and then Paul and Barnabas talked, and then James talked about what Peter said.
And brings in a quote from the Old Testament. It's definitely order. It went back and forth between the apostles and elders in Jerusalem and
who made the judgment here? Was it James?
He made the judgment. Wherefore,
based on what he'd been said,
he says, "My judgment is," and he submits it to them. He's like
saying it is the judgment. He goes, "My judgment is."
He's like a defense attorney or whatever. And he's going to allow the whole group of them to make the judgment. The 12.
He's coming up with something for them to judge.
Isn't it funny, the 12?
Yeah.
The jury is going to be, he acts as judge. He says, my judgment is. And you know what? How is the Bible laid out? Is there a book about judges?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And God was upset when they asked for themselves a king because he was king. So God let them have a king after their specs. He gave him Saul, who was a mess, got people killed. He got a lot of people killed, got himself killed. David's very close friend, Saul's son, killed. And so finally God picked a man after his heart, which was bringing in Jesus. But God primarily wants us to be judges. And this is the funny thing about churches today. They don't like judgment. They stop it. You try to talk about judgment, and they say, well, how about judge not lest you be judged? And that's all they think about. They don't think about song judgment, using psalms and songs and spiritual songs.
Well, they don't think about reading any more verses that have the word judgment.
And there's a ton of books about it. It's not talking condemnation. It's talking about looking at things through God's eyes. And so they're cutting God out of their conversations because God is judge. And we are to judge things. That's why the book of Judges, people get into trouble. God raise up judges who set people free.
Gave the land rest.
For 40 years or 80 years because of judges. And we've run out of time again. Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.